This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I'm just so grateful to be with you today, and I'm so thankful that you decided to turn on the radio and you found us on the dial. And what we're going to talk about today is, well, we're going to let the Lord guide us, but we're talking about how in Proverbs 16:9, I had asked Bill, and he's a guest, and he's going to come in a second, but I asked him what his favorite verse was, or the verse that kind of surrounds or envelopes today's message, and he said it was Proverbs 16:9. And I was going to let him say it, but I'm going to say it. It's, we make our plans, but the Lord orders our steps. You know, Bill and I don't know where you are in your walk. We don't know where you are in your belief, your faith. We don't know all of that, but the Lord does. And that as we're going through life, you know, there might be a turn, a fork in the road or something that happens. And, you know, we make our plans and we need to make plans. It's true, we need to make plans and we need to be asking God to guide our plans. But the Lord will order our steps. And things happen in our lives where we think one thing. Have you ever had this happen? We think one thing's going to happen, or we plan one thing's going to happen, and then something else happens. And you know, his plans are always so much better than ours. But sometimes we like to take the wheel and say we got this one, and then, you know, Jesus does a much better job than we could ever do. So let me introduce our guest, because, you know, Bill Conine is my guest, and Bill Conine is a friend of mine. I can actually call him a friend. And, you know, you can define friend any way you want, you know, for you. But for me, it's somebody you can, you know, lean on, depend on. He's there, and he's going to not always tell you what you want to hear, but he's going to tell you what you need to hear. And I think that's a true friend. And sometimes that's difficult. It's difficult to take. But Bill is one of those people that holds me accountable, and he asks me those tough questions. And he's put into a position, which we will talk about, of leadership and guidance, and you know, he has more than just me that he deals with in this group that we're in. But I refer to this group quite often when I'm talking on the air, and it's the Convene group. It's a business coaching group that he's a business coach with Convene, and he's my business coach. And I've referred to this group, and I've referred even to Bill many times on the show. And so, Bill, I just want to say thank you so much for taking my offer up and joining me on the show today.
Well, it's a pleasure being here with you today.
I'm so glad. So let me tell you a little bit about Bill. Bill Conine is recognized as a pioneer in the independent music publishing industry, where he served for over 30 years. Bill started his career in recorded music in 1975 when he accepted a position at a record label owned by American Broadcasting Company. After a series of advancements, he was recruited by Sparrow Records, and in 1980 accepted their invitation to become VP of Sales and Marketing. In 1993, Bill formed Diamante. I knew I was going to say it wrong. Music group. Diamante. Did I say it right? Okay. Quickly rose to become the largest independent sales, marketing, and distribution company in the inspirational and gospel music field. Bill sold this company in 2002 and remained as its president through 2004. That's kind of interesting. Not always does that happen. Bill now spends his time serving as, like I said, a business coach with Convene. He hosts a faith-based forum of CEOs and business owners in the North Los Angeles Ventura area. Each month, forum members come together to help each other solve business challenges and explore opportunities that lead to increased business and leadership success. That's not all he does either, because this group also talks about our personal walk. You know, it challenges us every time we meet. Bill and his wife, Dana, attend Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, have been married for over 47 years, and are blessed with two daughters and six grandchildren. And I have met her many times, and I tell you, she's such a sweetheart. She's just got such the gift, doesn't she?
I married up.
Yes. Well, I don't know if you married up, but you did marry well. You did marry well. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. Very godly woman, and just, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really awesome. So, you know, we were talking about making our plans. Did you grow up thinking you would be in the music business?
Not at all.
Really? What did you do? Like, what were you thinking when you were in high school and college? What did you think you were going
to do? Well, you know, I have to say I was a person of very low ambition. I, you know, kind of grew up in a lower middle class family, and, you know, it was all about survival. And so actually it was a guidance counselor in high school who kind of took pity on me and said, you know, we need to get you some classes you can pass. So why don't you think about joining the a cappella choir and the band? I said, well, I don't play an instrument. And he says, well, we'll teach you. So I joined both, learned to play the trombone. My wife, Dana, was a majorette in the band, and so I've been following her, you know, ever since. But it was through that introduction to music and my joining of Youth for Christ in Oakland, California, and joining the Youth for Christ Chorale that kind of led me to singing at my church and singing in small groups and being on television. And a friend of mine, whose wife I sang with, recommended me to ABC to be recruited for that record label, and I accepted it. So we just kind of came out of nowhere, and it's one of those examples of how the Lord orders our steps.
What a wonderful story. I never even knew that. I never knew that story. I never knew that part of that story. And pretty amazing. And, you know, I can remember back. Can you remember back, listeners? Can you remember back in high school? And you're not knowing what you're going to do with the rest of your life, and you feel this high pressure of going, oh, my gosh, I have to make all these lifelong decisions right here, right now. And what am I going to do when I graduate, you know? And I just remember it being such a very stressful time of trying to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And I know some of you can relate to this. And those counselors are so wonderful. I mean, they have such a wonderful way of, you know, we talk about gifts, spiritual gifts, and in past shows I've talked about that if you're not sure what you're supposed to do as far as God's purpose, look at what you're good at, look at what you enjoy doing, and usually that's a direction in which you should go in order to follow God's purpose for your life. And I don't know if all counselors think like that, but I remember mine asking me the questions on, you know, let's look at your grades, let's look at what you succeed in more than other things. And then they take these tests and you try to figure out what your aptitude is and, you know, where your passions are. And it kind of guides you that way. So here's this person who's saying, well, gee, I'm not really sure what yours are, but let's just try this because you did have some inclination of going that direction because that's something you were doing already. So that's really a message right there, isn't it? It's a message that, you know, look at what you're doing now, look at what you like doing, and that might be helpful in deciding what you want to do. What do they say about success is that, you know, if you go to work every day and you enjoy what you're doing, it's not because you have to go to work, it's because you want to go to work. And if you're in a position where you want to go to work and you feel that it you're doing something worthwhile, then that feels pretty good. And you did something really worthwhile. I remember as a young mom that my children only heard Christian music. They didn't hear any other kind of music. Every once in a while, I might turn on K-Earth 101 and listen to oldies but goodies. But most of the time, I was listening to Christian music because I wanted to impart all of those words into my children and into me because it gave me strength. So what you did on a huge scale of having the largest, what did you call it? What is it? The largest?
Independent Christian owned distribution
company.
Yeah,
yeah. So you went how far, how deep, how wide was your company?
Worldwide.
Isn't that amazing? How many people do you think you impacted just by that counselor that said, maybe you should do this and we'll teach you how to play an instrument? Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing. And I have to chuckle, you know, sometimes at, you know, God's sense of humor. And I never really played on any albums. I never recorded any records, but I did get into the sales and distribution and marketing side of the business. And we influenced a lot of lives by the music that we shared.
That's so fantastic. Why did you start your own company then? What led you to that?
Well, after my experience at Sparrow Records, I kind of worked myself out of a job and found myself on the street looking for something to do. And my kids were attending a Christian school here in the Valley. And they were always coming home with some kind of fundraising opportunity. It could have been magazines or chocolates or popcorn or something. And I got the idea that maybe we could use Christian music, recorded Christian music, in some kind of a fundraising venture. Mm. And so I developed a kind of a club program. The company was called The Praise Company. And schools would sell packets with a catalog and coupons. It was a buy one, get one free offer. And for $10, they could get 10 coupons. And for each order, each record they ordered at the regular retail price, they could get a second one of equal or lesser value free. and the school could keep half of the proceeds. And it was a great way to expand the Christian music market and at the same time help Christian schools raise money.
So you had a vision as a young man, and the vision had to do with your first job with a national company. Always wanted a what?
Well, before I got into the music business, I was selling for what's now called Avery Dennison. And it was a label company, and I had my company car and my first home and married and a daughter, and I'm parked at a marina in Oakland, California, looking at boats, wondering, how do you get one of these boats? I'd always wanted one, but thought, how do you get one? You must have to be in business for yourself. And I started having this kind of two-way conversation with myself, answering my own questions, and the thoughts kept coming to me. And as I look back, I think it's another example of how God orders our steps. But he said, okay, Bill, so would you ever want to be in business for yourself? And I said, yeah, that appeals to me. I'd like to be in business for myself. Well, what kind of business would that be? And I thought, well, that'd have to be kind of in sales and marketing and distribution, because that's what I love to do. And then the thought came, well, okay, so you get your company, and then you get your boat. And then the profound question came, then what? And I had to admit to myself that that was a very selfish ambition. And so I said, I would love to finish my career in some sort of faith-based situation or opportunity where I could use my skills and also be an influence for the kingdom in some way. And so that's where I've ended up.
Yeah, you have. It's not over yet. You've still got you've got a long way to go.
We say the best is still yet to come.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Thank you, San Diegans, for tuning into the show and all the way up the coast. And, you know, if this is your first time, or, you know, maybe it's your third time, whatever, you can go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. You can check out all the 4.5 years of podcasts. And, you know, there's all types of different subjects and guests on the show. We have so many things to offer. And I'm just hoping that this show can be an encouragement and inspire you in some way. You know, we all have ups, we all have downs. And it's just nice to know that we don't have to stay in the downs, right? And it's just nice to not have to go through these bumps in the road by ourselves. And so this show is here for you. It's what it's here for, is for you. It's a labor of love, and it's from the Lord. And the whole desire for me to you is that if there's anything I can do to help in any way, you can contact me by going to, again, Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and connect with me there.
Can we say that part again?
Yeah. Was that his phone?
That sounded like a phone door. Notification.
Okay, where did I go? Where do I go from?
Just where you started off.
It almost sounded like it was going music out or something, huh?
Like where you did your out.
Okay.
Contact me.
Okay. You can contact me again at Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Connect with me there, please. I want to hear from you. Okay. So back to Bill Conine. And what was the best part of being in business?
Well, you know, the best part of being in business was really working with the talented people that God brought my way, and to see them develop their skills and their career. And people have asked me, do you miss the music business? I do a little bit, but I missed more the people that I was able to work with. And a lot of us have stayed in touch with each other through social media and getting together from time to time. And I really value those relationships.
I can understand that. You know, that's what it's about, isn't it? We've talked about that on other shows too, is, you know, that's what the Lord is all about. It's relationships. Our relationship with Him first, and then with our neighbors and friends and family. It's all about relationships. And in business, you know, sometimes we categorize, we keep ourselves in different arenas in our lives. And I find that the relationships that I have found through business have been lasting relationships too. And, you know, when you've got people that are like-minded and you've got people that are on your page and that are really there to support one another and find a win-win in whatever you're doing, it just makes the load so much lighter than if you're always in combat, you're always on outs. You know, it's like when somebody is so selfish or so self-centered that they're only thinking about their needs and their wants, it's very difficult to get anywhere. But when you can go into any type of relationship and say, what can I do for this other person? You know, Jesus says, let's be servants. You know, we should be servants. We should serve one another. And when we do that, we come with a servant heart. Then things work out just so much easier that way. And that doesn't just mean at home. It means at work. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we need to be looking for how we can help those that we're around. And Bill has done that on a grandiose scale, just by, you know, from the music of, you know, music that the world needed to hear. You know, everyone needs, and it's the international language, isn't it? Dance and music. I can remember a side note, Bill, is that I went and visited my daughter when she was in Italy. She was accepted to the Academia, Italian Academia. In her junior year, she got school studying abroad, and she was a valedictorian, so she got a full scholarship to Long Beach State. And then her junior year, she traveled abroad, and she got accepted in the Italian art school. They only spoke Italian. And I went to visit her. I was there for 3 weeks, and I was so thankful and grateful that I could take 3 weeks out of my busy schedule and go be with my daughter. She really needed me. She was really in a dark time, but it was nice to watch her bloom again just by having mom there. But side note, I went to her class with her. I said, can I go to class with you? And she goes, yeah, mom, I don't see why not. She would go, and she loves musicals, you know, all the musicals. Under the Sea. What's that movie? Under the Sea, a Walt Disney. I think it's a Walt Disney. Under the Sea.
Little Mermaid?
Yeah, that one. Okay, she had the music for that. And in the class, when they're all painting and everything, she would play those songs, the musicals. And everybody would be singing. They didn't speak English, but they would be singing those songs. They didn't even know what they meant, I would bet. But it's just so amazing, this universal language of dance. You know, you don't need to talk in the language to teach somebody how to dance. You just show them, right? It's physical. And with music, it can just go so much deeper and so much further than just language, just talking. So it was really special to see that transition and everybody kind of finding something they could enjoy together. So it's
I have
wonderful.
A plaque on my desk at home, a quote by Martin Luther, which says, next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. It controls our thoughts, minds, hearts, and spirits.
I so agree with that. I went to a concert just a couple weeks ago, and Mandisa was singing, and she was talking about her story up on stage, and I didn't know her story. And she sang that song, Overcomer, and she told about her story of you know, the fight of weight and just that whole struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that when she recorded that, she didn't really feel like an overcomer at that moment because she was on this quest and didn't feel like she was being successful. So she had to, you know, put it together and just, you know, get on that attitude. And she started singing it. And then by the time she was done singing it, she felt like she had conquered that. And then she says that she got on the scale and she had lost, I think it was 100 pounds or something. It was amazing amount of weight, but she was feeling not an overcomer. But that song is so amazing. And I play that song almost every day because I need to sing it and hear it. And, you know, it's one of those songs that just kind of gets you going. So if you're feeling like you're not an overcomer, you are doggone it. And all you have to do is listen to that song and you'll feel like it. So the music can do so many things to help us in time of need just by listening to the words. And the music is uplifting. So I just think it's amazing. It's not a world your world has not been my world, but again, listeners, your world's probably not our world, but we all have this world and we're all working towards a better world. And whatever we can do to make that happen is a wonderful thing. Proverbs 27, 23, 24, you have that on here. So you want to talk about that or read that?
It refers to kind of the business aspect of what I do, and that is knowing well the condition of your flocks and paying attention to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. And it's a theme that we talk about a lot as CEOs in our peer group, and our responsibility that the Lord has put in our hands as stewards over the business that He has entrusted us with.
So if you were going to break this down, know well the condition of your flocks. From a CEO, that would mean your employees?
Of course.
Your associates, you know, people that you're working with.
Right, your assets, your... Right. And, you know, many people feel that their employees are their most important asset in their company.
I agree with that. It's all important, you know, and in business and in personal life, you know, we have to learn how to prioritize, but we also have to understand the value placed on every aspect of everything we do. So prioritizing is a difficult time sometimes because they can have equal value sometimes, and you still have to choose one at least to have your immediate attention. And then it says, pay attention to your herds. So what does that mean, pay attention to your herds?
Well, it can take in consideration the direction that you're going. Are you going in the direction you want to be going? Are there issues and challenges that are holding you back from achieving what you feel you have been led by the Lord to achieve? And so in our groups, we talk about that. We share those challenges together, and we ask each other for advice based on our understanding of biblical principle and the experiences we've all had, both good and bad, running our own companies.
So how many employees did you have when you were running your business? How many employees did you have?
Well, we had 28 employees, but we had third-party relationships that, you know, broadened our scope of responsibilities, such as warehousing, shipping, collections, manufacturing, marketing, that probably numbered into the hundreds.
Right. A lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah. And you got to keep all those moving parts moving.
That's right.
Yeah.
On time, every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like a juggler and, you know, you're juggling all these different things. And other times I visualize plates spinning and, you know, you got all these plates spinning and you got to go to the one that's slowing down and start spinning it again and keep those things up in the air and going. And something new that Bill has been, you know, repeating to me is that you get what you tolerate. That's mm-hmm. a big message that Bill has been relaying to me, is because we do get what we tolerate. In any aspect of our lives, we need to have healthy boundaries, and we need to draw a line in the sand and say, this is acceptable and this is not. And we have to decide where that line is. And that's not always easy to do. And if you've got people that have been used to having the line, you know, far out there, like 2 feet further, and you're bringing it back and saying, no, it's got to be here now, you're going to have a little bit of a struggle and a fight, but you've got to stand firm. Firm on your convictions, yes. James 2:26, it says, faith without works is dead. What would you say to that, Bill?
Well, I think works, you know, is evidence of our walk with the Lord, that, you know, we're grafted into His. He's the vine, we're the branches, and He expects us to produce good fruit. In fact, He has, you know, planned good works for us long before the world began.
So we have to do the best we can at all times, and we need to do it for His glory, not ours.
Right. We have to constantly be asking God, are we in the right place and doing the right thing?
And if not, even ask Him to guide us to the right thing and the right place and all of those good things.
Yeah, I heard a quote recently said, our greatest fear as Christians should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things that don't really matter.
Ooh, that's very good. Thank you so much for that, Bill. We will be back with more of Bill and more of the Sue Free Show after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at suefreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, for sponsoring the show. I'm so forever grateful. And, you know, if you would like to sponsor the show, we would love to have you sponsor the show. So just connect on SueFree, spelled like fries, one word, .com. And we'd love to connect on that level. Also, Learning to Breathe, it's an interesting story. It's my journey. It has to do with my son and I and how we learned so many things regarding respiratory issues, asthma, a mother's love, just going through all of the things that we had to go through in order to try to make this world or his world a healthier place for him to live. And so indoor air quality is huge. My one recommendation, actually I have two right now. One is, when you have the chance, open up your windows, open up your doors, and let the fresh air come in. And I know there's a smog thing and we're hurting the ozone layer, but I guarantee you the air out is better than the air in. You need to open up and let the air in. So do that, okay? As often as you can, do that. Secondly, take your pillow every 3 months, stick it in the dryer, and let it go in the drying cycle. And the reason you do that is because of dust mites and dust in your pillow. And I would recommend every year, and I don't have stock in pillows, but I would recommend every year to buy a new pillow. Make that your Christmas gift. And the reason is that the dust mites and the dust gets in your pillows and it doesn't come out. And so your pillow actually gets heavier. Every month, your pillow is heavier than it was the month before. Isn't that kind of gross? Welcome to my world. This is my world. It's the bug world. So anyway, that aside, we're going to get back to Bill Conine now. We're going to talk about business. We're going to talk about dreams and how, Proverbs 16:9, we make our plans, but the Lord orders our steps. And Bill, you wanted to get back to how your thought came into fruition.
Well, I kind of left off with the praise company and doing fundraising, and that kind of ran its course for about 5 years. Situation in the marketplace changed, which is a constant variable in business, I've found. Nothing stays the same. In fact, that's the only thing we know for sure, is that nothing is going to stay the same. So I found myself, again, looking for the right opportunity, and I started doing consulting for some of the companies that I had been in contact with over the years, and one of those companies invited me to come on as an employee, and that company went into receivership about 2 years later. As a result, I was given the opportunity by the credit holder to help them liquidate the inventory that they had collateralized with loans to that company, and we turned that company into what was called Diamante. But I can remember going up the elevator to meet with the principals, and my wife and I were together, and as we were riding up the elevator, I flashed back to that day at the marina 25 years earlier, where I had this thought about having my own company and it being a marketing and distribution company. And the creditor asked me, Bill, if you were to keep your sales force, how much money would you need? And I gave him a figure, and it was in the tens of thousands of dollars a month. And he looked at me and he says, okay, we'll guarantee your first 2 weeks. And so with a handshake, he handed me a distribution company.
Wow.
With a 2 week guarantee. And we turned that company, which was the smallest of all the companies, into the largest of all the companies over about a 3.5 year period. But, again, I have to, I'm astounded by what the Lord had planned for me way before I knew what was going to happen or whether or not that vision would even ever become a reality. But when it did happen, I gave the Lord all the credit for it.
So the worst part?
Of being in business?
Yeah.
Well, the worst part is the stress. The worst part is the financial challenges. The worst part is making payroll when you're not sure you can. The worst part is having money to grow and expand your business and all of the unknowns that, you might face. And I can't understand how business owners without the Lord are able to, you know, to handle those kinds of pressures. But, you know, with the Lord, his yoke is much lighter, and we managed to get through it.
You know, I remember a little while ago when it became very difficult to do many things, and there used to be suitcase stores. There used to be a lot of suitcase stores and purse stores. And then, you know, when all of this money issues and the economic times made it to where people just didn't have extra money to go travel, there was no need for suitcases. And I just saw these suitcase stores just go out of business. And I've seen a lot of record, and now with the DVDs, the movies, I see a lot of those stores, Blockbusters, and a lot of stores going out of business because something changed.
Right. Mom and pop stores went out of business. That was the reason that I chose to sell the company. We got caught up between, you know, brick and mortar, what's called brick and mortar stores, and the e-commerce that's done over the internet and the delivery of product over the internet. And you talk about stores going out of business. I just heard a report, I believe it was on one of the big news channels like 60 Minutes, were talking about that in the next 10 years, half of all the malls that we now go to will be gone. They'll be out of business because e-commerce is so dominant in the marketplace and take just enough of the business away from the retailer that they can't afford to have a retail location. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be fewer malls. And we're doing more and more business every year over the internet.
Well, I'm really thankful that I have a service business. They don't come to me. I go to your house and I take care of your termite and pest control needs. So, you know, there are do-it-yourselfers in my business, and you can go to Home Depot and get product. But if you don't know what you're buying, you don't know where to put it, you could be doing more damage than good. So I feel that, you know, there's a little bit of comfort there. Not a whole lot, though, because there's going to come a time when, you know. And the other thing with the e-commerce is not only that, but just running a business. And, you know, it used to be that, you know, with advertising, you had Yellow Pages and you had radio and you had TV maybe. But now you've got this black box and you've got to do social media and you've got to do, you know, Angie's List and Yelp and all of these things. And then you've also got to get your SEO and your SMO and your website and blah, blah, blah. It's like everything is like spread out so much more, and you'd think it would make things easier, but it's really not. So it just changes the whole climate of doing business.
Well, our consumers are much more intelligent today and have many more choices and can do a lot of research before they actually make a decision. And so all those things you mentioned are incredibly important for a business to have a great reputation. It takes a lot longer to build a good reputation than it does to lose it.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
So it's another reason
That's
why
true.
I find Convene so compelling is that, you know, the challenges that a business has and solving their issues and keeping a good reputation in the marketplace with their customers and clients is so important for their longevity and success.
Yeah, and as a business owner and entrepreneur, it's just really kind of lonely in that position. You know, it's like you can't just talk to anyone. You have to be careful and guarded about, you know, what the issues are that you're facing. So to have a venue, to have a place where you can go and you can actually be real and expose your vulnerability and all of those good things or bad things or uncomfortable things, you know, it's really a healthy place.
That safe harbor is one of the things that we guard the most at a Convene forum because we want to have that candid feedback. You know, we're prevented from doing any kind of major business with one another. We're not a networking group. And people are paying members, are paying dues to be there. They're not allowed to do business with one another. And so they have no hidden agenda. And we want that so that you can receive the candid input that you're seeking. And if somebody has business with you, they may not want to be honest and candid with you, and you may not want to be honest and candid with them and reveal some of your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through revealing those weaknesses and those challenges that provide the help. You know, Proverbs says that our plans fail for lack of advice, for lack of counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. Convene sets up peer-to-peer communities of about, you know, 12 to 15 people in each forum group, and we meet together for a full day every month. And in my interaction with each member during the month, we pick and choose challenges to bring to the group to solve. And we have a tool to do that, and we do it in an organized way. And over about an hour and a half, we will get our hands around an issue. We will interrogate the CEO. We will look at the Bible for principles to help us guide our direction. And then we will open it up for suggestions for CEOs in the room to offer their advice to each other, what has worked well and what has not worked well for them in those same circumstances.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And thank you for joining in. And if you've missed the first half, that's okay, because you can just go to Sue Free, spelled like fries, one word.com, and you can listen in. And that's a wonderful thing. Anyway, you know, I've found that whether in personal issues or in business issues, that the devil would want us to be isolated. He would want us to feel like we're in this all by ourselves. And, you know, pastors, I think about pastors a lot, because they're like the entrepreneur. They are, you know, that person that it's very difficult at the top. I don't want to say top, but, you know, when you're a leader, you've got people that are following. And when you have people following, you're being watched and you're being looked up to. And in that position, it doesn't come with, you know, it's huge sacrifices. And I just feel bad because, like, pastors or leaders of churches, they sometimes, you know, everybody wants a piece and they all need, and then where do they go? And yes, of course they go to God, and they, you know, hopefully get away for some rest and relaxation and, you know, get revived. But it's very difficult. And as a CEO, a CFO, whatever position, you know, when you're holding the responsibility decisions, the decisions that affect so many. For me right now, Ecola, 64 employees. When I make a decision, it's not just, you know, I'm thinking of five people in my company. I'm thinking about 64 plus their families. And then that affects customers, and it affects so many other things. So it's really important that for me personally, that I have some place to go where I can say, well, this is what I'm facing right now. And I only have my perspective. Just like you, listener, you have your perspective. You have your belief system, and it's based on your experiences up to this point. And sometimes they can be skewed and not in your favor, or not in the favor of a decision that can be made. So when you have other people, seek godly counsel, it says, and when you have other people or other places you can go where you can feel comfortable and you can let yourself be vulnerable, it's really wonderful to get the advice from many, many people, or a few chosen people, that can help you or guide you. And maybe it's uncomfortable, and maybe the decisions that need to be made are uncomfortable, but the reward is so much grander. In the Bible, it says, you know, in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. And yes, we do need to do that. We need to present our requests to God, but it doesn't mean that God does not use people to help us get through a tough time. Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
You know, that isolation factor is huge.
It's
for
very
a
huge
company owner. And you know, they're used to solving problems. They're used to flying solo. And there just isn't any place for them to go. They might be part of a men's group at church, and those people will offer to pray for their needs. But where can they go and say, you know, I have this legal issue, and I don't know which way to approach it. I don't know whether I should sue or not. I don't know whether, you know, I've got this HR issue. I've got an employee who has been with me a long time, and we seem to have outgrown their talents. You know, how do I deal with that? How do they deal with the day-to-day challenges that, you know, they face? And having a forum to go to of people that live in that world who share those same realities day in and day out, and can offer each other their wisdom. And everybody has the same value system in the room. That's what's so incredible about this, is that everybody is coming from it, the issue, wanting to do right, you know, in their
the godly way.
What
does the Bible say?
Right.
Yeah, because I used to belong to another group that wasn't with God principles, and there was an element, a huge element, missing in the decision-making process. And so when I found and discovered Convene, I was so excited. It was called something else before. It was called Convene. But it's a wonderful group to be involved in. If you are an entrepreneur, and this is not a commercial for Convene, but if you are and you do need direction, Bill mentioned men's group, but it could be a women's group too. I'm just saying.
I'm saying a church, you know, men's group. I didn't mean a
church women's group.
Right. Men's or women's group.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm just giving
actually,
a
Actually, our
poke.
Group has not only Sue Freeze, but
three other women?
three or four other women. We have the most women of any forum group in our organization.
And we are kicking it. We are doing a great job.
And the women offer a lot of good advice. You know, we husbands need to listen to our wives and the women in our lives much more than we do and give them more credit.
Wow, I didn't even pay you for that one. That's awesome. Anyway, so Bill, what have you discovered is the main reason business owners struggle to succeed? We've already talked about those, but, you know, what else would you add?
Well, number one, I would say, you know, they just lack the counsel that they can have, and this leads to a lot of stress and you know, their answer to that is just work more hours and work longer and work harder, and they kind of use hope as a strategy, but I say, you know, hope is not a strategy, and you really need, you know, some principles to operate by, and
tools to measure. That's a big one for me.
Tools to measure is a big one, yeah. So many CEOs, you know, kind of bootstrapped it when they first got started. Maybe they had a skill or some kind of discipline that got them started, but as their organization has grown, it's become more sophisticated, and a lot of them don't have the tools or are not using tools to measure their success. And we say that, you know, what gets measured gets done, and what gets measured gets improved. And so Convene offers tools and helps for the CEO to learn how to measure the direction they're going and discover trends before the surprise happens, like it did when the economy changed. And, you know, when you have enough money in the bank, it'll cover a lot of your
mistakes or
poor choices.
Yeah, inefficiencies,
but,
yeah.
But when the economy changed and people were having to lay people off and get down to the basics, they got more interested in the fundamentals of how to run a business. And those people that were part of our forum group survived. I don't think anybody in our forum group went out of business as a result of the economy. Some got very close. And in fact, you know, one person in our group who's still in our group had been in business for 30 years. And he admits that if he hadn't started measuring using the tools, what we call key indicators or dashboards in his business, that after 30 years of business, he would be operating out of the trunk of his car, and the warehouse that he is buying, he would be leasing to somebody else because he didn't have the business to sustain himself. So the fact that he survived, he gives all the credit to his Convene relationship.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking about business, we're talking about relationships, we're talking about that even though we make plans, God is measuring our steps and he's guiding our steps, and our life is an example of that. If you just think about where you were when you were in high school and where you are today, is it where you thought you would be, or were there some forks? Were there forks in the road? And, you know, did God guide your path? Did he guide your steps? Dysfunctional company culture. You want to talk about that at all?
Yes, I think that, you know, every company, every relationship, whether it's family, social organizations, all have an element of dysfunction. And companies that are able to pinpoint their dysfunction and able to control it and improve the dysfunction and make it more functional have less problems. You know, CEO's answer to work harder and work longer hours reduces their margin, and so that has an effect on other areas of their life, like their families, their church, their social engagements. By being in a forum like this, people are able to move forward much faster on issues, and they don't dwell on them so long. And as a result, they find that they have a lot more margin in their life than they did prior to joining the group. And probably the biggest obstacle to joining a group or considering joining a group like this is one day a month. I don't have one day a month, they will say. I don't have 1 hour a month, you know, extra.
It's true.
But those that make that commitment find that suddenly they have a lot of hours in their week. They have a lot of extra time in their day that they didn't have before because they didn't hold back making the decisions. If they got consensus on an idea from the group, they're more inclined to follow
take action
and move forward.
Right. And for me, it's taking that one day to focus on the business instead of working in the business.
Exactly.
Because we get so caught up in the day-to-day that it's difficult to plan or to measure or to think about, you know, the other things. So like we were saying before, as far as, you know, our perception, our belief system, or the way we see things is the way we see things. But having other people with the way they see them and them exposing that helps you maybe to put on a new set of sunglasses or eyeglasses with a different color, maybe to see things in a different color. Whatever it is, it kind of opens up your eyes to maybe another possibility that you were narrow-minded, or you're, you know, what is that saying about you can't see the forest because of the trees, or mm-hmm. or something like that? My mother used to say that. But it's so true, because it could be right in front of us. The answer could be right there, but we don't see it.
Yeah, and having a day a month to kind of step back and get a different perspective on things opens up a whole new world. And one of the verses that I like to emphasize, found in 1 Corinthians 12:28, talks about spiritual gifts. But one of the least talked about spiritual gift is the gift of administration. And I think this is where the business owner qualifies. You know, God has equipped you with a special gift, but you have to exercise that muscle. You have to, you know, cultivate that gift in order to understand it better and to see that the work you do and the position that God has put you in is really one of His gifts. And therefore, He's going to equip you to do that job. He's not going to lead you and you know, not give you the tools and the ability to carry it forward.
Something I've learned is, you know, asking myself the question, is there somebody else on my team that could do what I'm doing right now? Because if there is, then maybe that person should be doing it.
Well, one of the keys to success is hiring people that are smarter than you.
Yeah, smarter than you, or just more gifted in an area that maybe you might not be gifted.
Because you can't be expected to be an expert in every single discipline in your business. You can't be the most effective marketing person, the highest, you know, salesperson, the chief accountant, financial planner. Mm-hmm. You have to have people that can help you and assist you, and God can bring those people to cross your path.
That is so true. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're almost coming to the end of this this show, Bill. So, you know, there's many people listening, and if you could give them any advice at all, I'm putting you on the spot, but if, you know, if you could just summarize what you believe is very important for those listening.
Well, I think the mindset is to be, you know, we talk about, you know, finding our purpose in life, and once mm-hmm. we find it, we're asked to surrender it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, We've talked about Moses and the fact that when God came to him, he asked him what it was in his hand, and it was a staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that staff represented everything that Moses was about. It represented his job, his wealth, you know, his tool for the job and so forth. And God asked him to lay it down on the ground. And that staff became a snake. And then God asked him to pick it back up. When he laid it down, God made a snake out of it, something entirely different and unique. When he picked it back up, it was just a stick of wood again. And so that is our challenge as business leaders, is to find our place, but then surrender whatever God's put in our hand to Him, and He'll make something entirely unimaginable, greater, far greater than we can ever imagine out of what we surrender to Him.
That's so awesome. Thank you, Bill, for sharing that. I really appreciate that. So thank you so much for joining us today on the show. And, you know, if you've heard something here that you feel could be shared with somebody that you love, or somebody that you know, or somebody that, you know, this could just be an encouragement to, would you please just share it? Would you let them know about the SueFreeze.com site so that they can go and listen to the podcast? And until next week, make yourself a blessing to someone each and every day. God bless.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every-other-month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.